The logo of the UK Film Council, awarding funds from the National Lottery. Bands of light revolve around a sphere. A broken band forms a sea around the sphere. The logo of Content Film. Titles appear on a map. UK Film Council and Content Film present a rubber tree plant production. A ginger-haired youth of about 17 cycles down a residential street. Julie Walters, Rupert Grint and Laura Linney. The youth cycles on. Driving lessons. The youth hands a foil takeaway box to an old lady.
Thank you, Ben. Tell your mother she's an angel, cooking for all us oldies. When's the driving test?
This afternoon.
Nicholas Farrell, Jim Norton, Michelle Duncan, Oliver Milburn, Tamsin Egerton. Ben cycles up a hill. Casting director Priscilla John. Production designer Amanda MacArthur. Composers John Renborn, Clive Carroll. Ben makes another delivery to another old lady.
Friend yet?
Oh, no, not yet.
Editor Trevor Waite, director of photography David Katz-Nelson, executive producers Robert Jones, Edward R. Pressman, Alessandro Kamen.
Hambre, mirror, angel.
Ben nods, co-producer Alexandra Ferguson.
My name is Roger, and I'm your driving examiner for today. I'd like you to approach the next roundabout and take the first exit.
The car misses the exit.
Nope, that was the first exit, please. You're still going round.
Produced by Julia Chasman. The car drives up a residential street.
In a moment, I'm going to strike the dashboard. When I do, I'd like you to make an emergency stop.
It doesn't.
Stop, please. Stop the car. Stop!
The car mounts the curb and hits a tree. Written and directed by Jeremy Brock. Ben stands at the curb as a car driven by a woman of about 40 pulls up on the opposite side of the road. He goes over and gets in the passenger seat as the woman checks her appearance in a vanity mirror. She looks sympathetically at him.
Never mind, darling.
Crash the car.
Well, you were nervous.
Mum, do you think I should have some proper lessons with a teacher?
She turns away.
I've been driving for 25 years. You just need more practice. Seatbelt, please.
In a church hall, Ben, his mum, a vicar and some other kids all hold hands in a circle, their arms above their heads, whilst walking round and round and singing. Ben stands with his mum and Peter the Padre as the other kids leave.
Bye, guys. See you on Sunday.
See you, Peter.
I know a lot of the guys teaching religious education at Coventry. It's a hell of a competitive course now. Very new science, philosophy, culture. Very rounded, very sexy.
Lovely.
Obviously, I can't take Ben's exams for him, but I can definitely recommend.
Thank you, Peter. Isn't that wonderful, Ben?
Thanks.
Ben really knows his Bible. It's just the academics he struggles with.
Ah, maths was always my problem.
Ben and maths. Don't even talk about it.
That evening at dinner...
He was just telling us about his thoughts for an international day. With all the different parish faiths swapping ideas. I thought it sounded wonderful.
I'm not sure Finchley Central's quite ready for Peter's particular brand of evangelism.
You need to be sarcastic, Robert. At least he's trying.
Robert, Ben's dad, is also a vicar. They all sit around the table together with a rather unsavoury-looking old man.
May I offer you some more, Mr. Finlay?
How was your room, Mr. Fincham? Did you manage any sleep this afternoon?
He shakes his head.
He took his driving test today. He did very well. Just a few things to iron out. Of course, now we've got the summer holidays ahead of us. We can spend even more time in the car.
There you are.
Robert gives Mr. Fincham some seconds and he guzzles the food down. Later, Ben is working on a poem entitled Sarah. He quickly puts his notepad away when his mum, Laura, comes into the room.
How's my grown-up boy?
She sits on the side of his bed beside him.
Your father and I have been talking. Now that Mr. Fincham's staying with us, it might be thoughtful if we all contributed a little money towards getting him back on his feet. What do you think?
Who is Mr. Fincham?
Mr. Fincham came to me asking for shelter. He'd heard that I like to help people.
But how long is he staying for?
Darling, he ran over his own wife. He must take as long as he needs. I thought, if you got a summer job, you might put some of the money towards helping Mr. Fincham.
A large congregation fills the pews of St. Luke's Church. As the hymn comes to an end, Robert, now wearing a white surplice, puts down his hymn book and climbs up into the pulpit. He looks out at the congregation and smiles warmly at them.
Ask yourselves this question. How is a person truly free until they can think and act for themselves?
Ben and Laura listen.
Free will, so that we could choose his love. You see, he wanted us to understand our commitment, to be grown up about it. If you say to me, am I a Christian? I say to you, if you strive to do good, then you're a Christian.
Handbrake, mirror, turn.
Ben and Laura arrive outside Pete's house.
If you don't seek to hurt or betray others, you're a Christian. If you're true to yourself and treat others as you'd have them treat you, you're a Christian. The more a person parades their Christianity for the benefit of others, the less I'm inclined to trust the Christianity they claim to bring. God tells us true faith is the freedom to choose truth.
Ben walks up to a house.
How you express that, the way, the manner, the means at your disposal, these things are of no consequence, be you Christian or atheist, unless in your heart you are true.
Laura listens attentively. Ben finds a note on the front door of the house which says, door open, in garden. He tentatively goes inside. He finds himself in a cluttered house. There are piles of books everywhere. He goes into the hall and admires a wooden statue. He walks on through the house, pausing to look at an old theatrical photo he finds on a desktop. He steps out into the garden.
Hello.
Ben walks along an overgrown patio and makes his way up the garden path, looking around for any sign of the owner. He stops and looks over to his left.
Fuck you, you little fuckers! Jesus fucking Christ! Come on, you bastards, cut!
He sees a woman in her late 60s struggling with some secateurs up ahead of him.
You're Ben. Found the house all right? Marvellous. Shall we stroll? Now then, we talked on the telephone.
Yes.
What did I say?
You said you needed some help around the house.
Did I mention camping?
No, you said you might need an escort.
Yeah, well, I travel occasionally. Theatrical engagements. I take it you're a Christian.
Excuse me?
Well, I make it a policy always to advertise in Harry Jesus. As a single woman, I'm acutely aware of the dangers of sexual assault by younger men. Though sadly, God is no longer the insurance policy he once was. Or am I just old-fashioned? Now then, a few house rules. At home, I'm never Dame Eve. Only Evie. Meals are taken in the kitchen, unless I happen to be entertaining, in which case, I shall ask you to sell a few drinks, canapes. I pay £6 an hour, which is a pound more than McDonald's. So if that is unsatisfactory, I suggest you go and work for them. For how you can consider such a thing in all good conscience, I really don't know. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Sorry.
Monday to Friday, 11 to 4, and every alternate weekend, lunch included.
She rolls her eyes.
Yes.
Oh, excellent. Well, we do seem to be getting along famously, don't we, Ben? Now, I'll show you around.
She takes his arm. A hand tests the water in an open-air Lido.
Hi, Ben.
Hi. Been swimming?
A group of girls.
Yeah. What you were just up for?
Got a job.
Doing what?
Looking after a lady in Hampstead.
Lucky lady. So, where are you going now, Ben?
I was just walking. I thought maybe a few ago we could, you know, walk.
Okay. See you.
Sarah, the chatty girl, leaves the other girls. She's a tall brunette. She and Ben walk together.
After last Bible class, Peter walked me home. He says he likes sharing his thoughts with me. He says there's an incredible witnessing going on in a church in Hackney. He says he may take a group of us there next Sunday. It's so great.
Yeah.
He said this, like, black priest has actually flown over from America to save the Church of England from itself. Can you imagine? It's just so Pete.
You've got lovely hair.
What?
Sorry.
Sarah looks taken aback.
I wrote you a poem. I've got it here. I could read it to you if you like.
It's okay. You can just give it to me. I can read it later.
I'd really like to read it to you.
Really? It's okay.
25 lines.
Go on then, quickly.
You are the harvest. God's water and wheat. Birds fly for you, sing for you. Each wing a beat of my heart for you. Felt for you, my clay feet. I do not sing for you. Do not fly for you. I am not water. I am not wheat. I would be dove. I would be hawk. Your milky breasts. My strange meat. What do you think?
I'm sorry. You're just too weird.
Ben looks crushed. Sarah walks on, leaving him and his poem in the middle of the road. Later, he's on stage with his mum and some girl guides. He unenthusiastically holds up a couple of branches.
Walking through the desert. It's very, very hot. Walking, you're tired. You're walking and walking and walking. And then, over here. A eucalyptus tree. And there is Jesus Christ himself carrying his loaves and fishes. Now, everyone, quickly, quickly. Sitting in the shade of the eucalyptus tree. Sitting in the shade, sitting in the shade.
I'm so proud of Ben. Not only has he found a job, he's found a job helping a retired actress.
She's not retired.
What's her name again, Ben?
Eve Autumn.
She's a dame.
Eve Walton. Wasn't she with the RSC years ago? Played Ophelia.
Really, no idea.
Haven't heard her name for a while.
That's not saying much, is it? When was the last time you went to the theatre?
We went to the West End last Christmas.
That was Panto. I'm sure Dame Eve's never done Panto. We must invite her over, Ben. Perhaps she can help us out with the story of Christ's miracles. On second thought. Maybe we should save her for Peter's International Day. Give the Muslims something to think about.
Robert looks put out. He marches off. Mr. Fincham smiles gormlessly at Laura. Later, Ben takes a bowl of dessert over to Robert's study and knocks on the door.
Who is it?
Ben.
Come in.
Ben cautiously makes his way inside.
Mum thought you might like some crumble.
Robert looks awkward as Ben brings it over and puts it on top of a pile of books on his father's desk. Ben looks at the book Robert's reading.
What's that one? Skylark. Skylark.
It's found mainly in the Highlands now, I think. It's cool. It is a sort of chirruping...
Shut up, Topsy!
It's not to be confused with the woodlark, which has a quieter...
Why?
Oh, you can borrow the book if you like.
It's okay.
Well, it's on the shelf. Anytime.
Thanks.
They both look vaguely embarrassed. Ben turns to go.
Thanks for the crumble.
Ben nods awkwardly and goes. Robert grits his teeth. Later, Ben lies in the bath, listening to his parents arguing. Ben submerges himself under the water to cut out the noise.
They've got me. One beastly patch of grass among blood and backs in agony. And whoever made up all these ridiculous Latin names should be shot. Floria Fuckabundi.
Evie and Ben are at a bus stop.
It's a tuppenny fuck what the Romans called them. Stop that bus!
Evie leads the way up onto the top deck of the bus. It's full of people.
Are these the best available seats? Must say, I prefer to sit nearer the front. I say I would prefer to sit nearer the front.
No one moves.
Moving, I suppose we shall have to make do. Goodness me. Somebody forgot to wash. Oof.
They sit down, Ben looking a bit embarrassed.
Lovely London.
Evie grins out of the window.
Christmas in a lick.
Why, thanks.
For a boy of 17, you show a lamentable lack of curiosity. No doubt you're suppressed by your upbringing, but that's hardly enough to explain what frankly amounts to little short of social autism. I shall have to imagine your curiosity for you. You're a healthy 17-year-old boy. You're not, of course. You take my point. You see an attractive woman living on her own. You wonder. Is she a roaring lesbian? Answer no. For your information, I've been married and divorced 3 times. Once to an actor, once to an English lord, and once to a Californian. All work things. My mistake. You, on the other hand, might well be gay. I must introduce you to Duke. Old agent friend of mine. Odorously queer, of course, but the old-fashioned type. Bent gentle.
I'm not gay.
I beg your pardon?
I'm not gay.
Everyone's looking at them.
Not gay, apparently.
Later, Ben follows Evie as she prowls around a camping shop looking at equipment. A shop assistant approaches them.
Can I help?
I wish to see your equipment.
My equipment?
Show me everything you've got.
Ben tries out a climbing harness. Now he and Evie test ski sticks. A climbing wall.
Can you put your shoulder under my arse?
Ben tries on a jacket. He and Evie clink thermal mugs and then lie inside a tent.
I always dreamed of camping, even as a child. Half in, half out. Of course, my parents would never have dreamt of it. The lower middle classes are the worst snobs. You sound faintly cockney, are you?
No.
Yeah. What are you, really?
I don't know. Middle class, I suppose.
Nothing to be ashamed of. Middle classes are the engine room of England. Just their parents I can't stand.
She looks up at the tent canopy and closes her eyes.
They flee from me that sometime did me seek with naked foot, stalking in my chamber. I have seen them gentle, tame, and meek, that now are wild, and do not remember that sometime they put themselves in danger to take bread at my hand.
Any luck with this one?
The shop assistant.
Sadly, your prices are beyond us. But for your aid and succour, we thank you.
The assistant doesn't look best pleased. Ben follows Evie as she scuttles out of the shop.
Look, happy stove.
She's nicked it. Later, Ben walks up outside his house and finds his mum standing waiting for him on the drive. She has her arms folded and looks irritable.
Where on earth have you been?
It's 6 o'clock.
Got held up.
Got held up. We had a driving lesson at 4. You should have let me know.
There was nowhere to call from. If I had a mobile...
Mobiles give you cancer.
He looks down sheepishly. She checks her watch.
Well, I'll drive.
She gets in their purple Nissan Note, which has L plates affixed. Ben gets in the passenger seat, and they drive off. As they drive along, Laura grabs a copy of the highway code and gives it to Ben.
Read that. We'll have a theory lesson.
Ben shoots a troubled look in his mother's direction, then looks down at the highway code and begins to flick through it. Later, he sits alone in the car. A woman herds a group of little girls in pink tutus down the path from a house nearby and ushers them into the car behind Ben's. He stares glumly through the windscreen.
And I still apply to what you are.
Later, Ben and Laura return home. She immediately hurries off upstairs.
Ben? Where were you this evening?
We had a driving lesson.
Is that all?
Yes.
Robert eyes him suspiciously for a moment, then disappears into his study. Later, Ben lies awake in bed. Laura comes into the room.
Ben, are you asleep?
She kneels beside the bed, brushes his hair back off his face and kisses him. He doesn't react.
Whatever happened behind these walls, Ben? God's ambassadors. We show the world a smiling face.
She kisses him again and he still doesn't react. The next day, Ben is round at Evie's. He's on cleaning duty and potters round the cluttered living room with a bottle of cleaning fluid and a duster. He mooches over to a desk, puts down the cleaning stuff and presses the play button on an old cassette recorder. He finds a letter in an open drawer which says, "Dear Ms. Walton, thank you for your letter of September 9th requesting a part in Aladdin. Unfortunately, this year's Christmas show is already fully cast. However, we thank you for your interest and will bear you in mind for future productions." He puts the letter away, then opens the desk and finds some photographs. He flicks through them. Some are theatrical, others family. He finds one of a much younger Evie holding a baby. As he studies it, he doesn't hear Evie coming into the room behind him.
Put it away.
Sorry.
You do not touch my things.
I was tidying.
You do not touch my things.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry.
Her expression softens very slightly.
You tidy around them.
She marches out, leaving Ben looking a bit shamefaced. He looks out of the window and watches Evie walking slowly up the garden path. She cuts a lonely old figure. Later, Ben comes into the house with some bags of shopping.
Evie? I've got your shopping.
Getting no reply, he steps into the kitchen and sees Evie lying face down on the floor. He picks her up and she looks about, confused.
Oh, sink.
Sorry?
Sink.
Sorry.
Sink!
Right.
I got puke in my hair.
Ben brushes her hair back from her face.
Sit me down.
Okay.
Sofa.
He carries her over to the sofa and lays her down. A forest of empty bottles litters the room.
It's gonna be all right.
Fuck off. Goody fucking two shoes.
He makes to go. She grabs him.
Stay. Please. Just till I get to sleep.
He sits beside her on the sofa and she holds his hand.
Thank you.
Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning.
Back at St. Luke's, Pete is leading the congregation as they sing along. On the front pew, a particularly perky-looking Laura sings enthusiastically along beside a slightly less loving it Ben. A bald 30-something black guy sings along beside him. Laura grins happily at Ben. Later, Ben steps out of the back door into Evie's garden.
Quick, come! You'll never believe what I've just found.
I've come to hand in my note.
This is Peter. Come, close your eyes. I've got something to show you.
She leads him up the path. He complies and she excitedly leads him on by the arm.
Open.
It's a tent.
My Shakespeare's, my shekels. They were in a crate in the living room. You must have moved them when you were going through my things.
That was one of the reasons.
No nonsense. I thought I'd lost them forever.
I won't lie to you, Ben. Lately, I've found myself a stranger to the Bard. I had money problems. My last husband... Oh, well, be that as it may. I was obliged to take TV work. A daytime drama series... set amongst wealthy shipping magnates. Called rather unimaginatively, the shipping magnates. I believe they still run it somewhere on Skye. No money in it for me, naturally.
She looks at the books.
I auditioned for Nurse Ratchet in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
She feverishly finds a page in one of the books, then hands it to Ben.
You're Coriolanus. I'm your mother. I disown you.
Evie takes a second to compose herself.
This fellow had a Volscian to his mother. His wife is in Coriolis, and his child, like him by chance. Yet give us our dispatch. I am hushed until our city be afire. And then I'll speak a little.
She hugs Ben as he reads his line.
My sister.
Oh, my dear Orchard. My... sweet and lovely Orchard. My youth. My happiness. Farewell. Farewell.
Ill met by moonlight, proud Titania.
What jealous Oberon. Fairy skip hence. I have forsworn his bed and company.
Terry rash wanton. Am I not thy lord?
I must be thy lady. Kill me tomorrow. Let me live tonight.
Nay, and you strive.
But half an hour.
Being done, there is no pause.
But while I say one prayer.
'Tis too late.
Lord.
Ben mock strangles her and she snuffs it.
Born to it. Absolutely born to it.
They have tea.
We did Othello at school. It wasn't like, I mean, it wasn't very good. The thing is, you don't understand the jealousy bit till you actually strangle someone yourself.
Ah, there you see. The poetry, the pain.
Ben looks thoughtful as he considers.
All right, poetry.
How intriguing. May I hear one?
Oh, I'm not. I don't know any off by heart.
Another time, perhaps. Now then, I was thinking we could go camping tomorrow. Somewhere not too far. Try out the old tent.
Ben looks uneasy at the proposal.
Something the matter?
How long would we be away for?
Oh, a day. 2 days at the most.
Ben bites his lip as he considers. Robert walks down the aisle of the church and sees Ben sitting in a pew.
Hello there.
He eyes Ben curiously.
What brings you here?
Do you think Mum will let me go camping?
Camping? Why on earth would anyone want to go camping?
To escape?
He can't, possibly. He's got a dress rehearsal with the guides next week.
He's a tree.
A eucalyptus tree. Plus, he's got Bible club and his driving lessons to think about.
But I thought you were teaching him.
Precisely.
Well, surely a few days is hardly going to make any difference.
Robert, you're not the one trying to run the girl guides, organise a play, keep house and look after half the over 70s in Finchley.
Sorry, but what does any of that have to do with Ben?
I need him here.
Later, Ben goes into Robert's study.
Good night, Ben.
Robert looks rather awkward.
I'm sorry about the camping. Sometimes your mother can be a little...
Unable to finish the sentence, he looks back down at his bird book. Disappointed, Ben goes upstairs. Robert looks after him with an anguished expression. He passes Mr. Fincham, who's busy doing Tai Chi on the landing. As Robert continues flicking through his bird book in his study, Ben sits on his bed in his pyjamas, staring into the distance. The next day, Laura is busy doing good deeds at an old folks' home. A subdued-looking Ben walks up the street to Evie's house, where he finds her busy packing an ancient Citroen ready for their camping trip.
Right and early!
That's the ticket.
I'm afraid I can't come camping with you. My mother needs me at home.
I see.
Sorry.
Well, never mind. We can just take a little drive instead. I take it you drive?
I'm still a learner.
A truly petrified-looking Ben pilots Evie's car along a variety of rural roads as they head deep into the countryside.
This is wonderful. This is simply... Just look at all that green! Just look at it! Oh, it's so... fucking green!
Ben is too terrified to take his eyes off the road.
Probably think about turning back soon.
Well, there's bags of time. Not even dark yet.
I really do think we should turn back.
Stop the car! Stop! Stop!
In a woodland clearing, Evie gets out of the Citroen and admires the trees.
God above, I am in Elysium. Drive in!
I see now why the working class has kept camping a secret. Sky.
Put that down.
Air. A little urchin skedaddling about. Hello there. I'm Evie. I've come camping.
Some kids run away. Clutching a glass of wine, Evie wanders back to Ben, who's pitching the tent beside the Citroen.
Very nice.
If you don't mind, I really think we should be getting back now. My mother was expecting me at 6.
I can't possibly leave until I've eaten campfire food.
I really do have to say, there's no time left.
There's always time.
Right. That's it, I'm packing up the tent.
I beg your pardon?
I'm taking down the tent. We're leaving.
Evie holds out her hand.
Please. Sorry?
Car key.
Ben walks over and hands it to her. He watches open-mouthed as she takes it off the key ring and swallows it.
Oh, my God. He's swallowed the key.
What a relief. He swears.
You've swallowed the fucking key.
Better and better.
Choke, bring it back. You can't do that. You have to bring it back.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Shit. There's a spare set. Where's the spare?
Haven't got one.
How could you do that?
Felt like it.
Ben's incredulous.
My mother's going to kill me. You don't understand. You said I wasn't to come. I asked and she said no. You don't say yes when my mother says no. You don't do it.
My dear boy, the key will be back with us in the morning. I'm regular as clockwork. Look, if it makes you feel any better, I'll ring your mother and tell her I went momentarily mad.
No. No. Whatever you do, do not ring my mother.
As you wish.
She eyes Ben with something approaching concern as he goes and sits on the tailgate of the Citroen.
I'll have to call home.
Evie walks over and sits beside him.
Eat first. A soldier fights better on a full stomach.
Ben cooks a panful of sausages.
Don't drink.
Go on, make you feel better.
No, it won't.
It was a key. I swallowed it. Frankly, you should be flattered. Now, I insist you have a drink.
I'm underage.
Well, how old are you?
17 and a half.
So young and so pedantic.
She hands him a glass of red wine.
You can tell God I forced you.
She raises her own glass to his. Ben regards the wine apprehensively, then takes a sip. A bit later...
Fritz screamed my halting mentor. Remember your godforsaken lust and the toll heaped uphill. But I urged... That's me.
Yeah.
But I urged... They've passed us, passed beyond to a better place. Revenge, he cries, is yours. But you are blinded by your petty sorrow. Pity me, I yelped. Your service is inclusive of this testing ground, your soul.
Then you go back to the narrator.
Mm-hmm.
The church's palpable texts breathe their rich, rich grace into your heart. And they are precious and beautiful. And you must never forsake the thought of God. For God is love.
He jabs his finger for emphasis.
And you wrote this for...
Sarah. She's a friend. I haven't sent it yet. She thought my last poem was a bit weird.
Yes. Well, don't hurry your heart. That was always my mistake. What do your parents make of Sarah? Oh, perhaps you haven't got that far yet.
To be honest, I'm not really sure how she feels about me.
You have the soul of a poet. And that, let me tell you, lasts a great deal longer than looks.
Ben smiles at the thought. A bit later, he dials a number in a telephone box.
Hello?
Mum.
Ben, where are you? I was expecting you at 6.
I'm on a campsite. Evie swallowed the car key and now we can't get back till she poos it out. Mum? You there?
I'm calling the police. Where are you?
I don't know. Don't call the police. I'm fine, really.
Have you taken a tablet, Ben? Try to think. Did she give you a tablet? Something for a headache?
I'm fine. I just can't come back till morning.
Robert, she's kidnapped him. He's somewhere on a campsite. He sounds drugged.
Mum, I'm fine, honestly.
Don't move. I'm on my way.
Mum, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm stuck on a campsite and I can't come back till morning.
Then I'll expect you whenever you can get back. Good night, Ben.
Mum? Mum?
Ben hangs up and steps out of the phone box, which is outside a pub. He walks away across the beer garden and makes his way back past other tents on the campsite. He pauses on the path and looks up at the stars in the clear night sky above. Ben walks on and returns to their tent. He finds Evie's already bedded down for the night. He closes the tent flaps behind him. Looking uneasy, he quickly removes his jacket, then scrambles into his sleeping bag.
All well?
Fine.
Don't feel guilty. Guilt's a wicked ghost.
Evie closes her eyes. The next morning, the sun is up when Ben wakes. He sits up and looks out of the tent. Evie is busy outside.
Going for a stroll. Harbour down the road a little way. So, pack the car up and come out and meet me.
Car key.
Oh,
she feels in her coat pockets. She brushes something off the car key and hands it to Ben, who eyes it a little suspiciously. Evie marches off. Ben pulls up the tent pegs and the old canvas tent collapses. As Ben loads the tent poles into the car, a middle-aged man wanders over to him.
Granny said you'd pay.
Ben's shoulders sag. Later in the car...
You could have told me you weren't going to pay. That campsite manager was a very big man. If I hadn't had the money...
I'll pay you back.
That's not the point.
Oh, for goodness sake! Anyone think you'd give him blood?
I think it's best I stop working for you.
Oh, why? So you can take up being pompous professionally?
You can pay me all you owe me when we get back to the house.
I'm not going back. I have a poetry recital in Edinburgh. I'm to take part in a week of readings at the Literary Festival.
You never said anything about that.
Why should I?
I can't possibly go to Edinburgh. It's all the way up there.
Nonsense, it's just a few miles on the motorway.
I can't.
Well, that really is most inconvenient.
I'm sorry, I just can't. Look, I'll drive you to the station, and I'll get the train home.
I don't drive.
Oh, shit.
The Citroën lurches to a halt on a woodland road.
Car in your garage.
Ex-husband's, the Russian. Very keen skier.
I'm a learner driver. I'm strictly forbidden to drive a car without a qualified motorist in the vehicle.
Gosh, you really do know all the rules, don't you?
We're breaking the law.
Annoyed, Evie gets out of the car and runs into the wood.
Evie! You okay? Do you want some water?
She signals no.
What's wrong?
Other than the fact that I have an untreatable condition, nothing.
What condition?
What do you care? You're going home.
Evie, please, tell me.
Sparing you the details, my tits have turned into time bombs. Doctors gave up treating me last year. My surgeon says it's the worst case he's ever seen.
Ben stares at her.
How long have you got? Do they say?
How long is a piece of hope?
She shrugs and, smiling, turns to face him.
A month? 3 months? A week?
A week?
You're shocked. You're still so young. To me, a week is a year. Every moment a blessing.
He looks dumbfounded as he takes the news in.
Well, expect you'll be wanting to get back to your mother.
Ben stares at her for a moment, then marches determinedly over to her and steers her back towards the car.
Where are we off to?
Edinburgh. You've got a recital to give.
The old green Citroën drives past fields of golden wheat, then makes its way past green fields and a wind farm. Another sun rises. Now it drives up a suburban street towards factory smokestacks and on up a narrow road through a green valley. The car makes its way towards the city of Edinburgh, which looms large up ahead of it. The grey bulk of Edinburgh Castle casts its shadow over the city. The Citroën drives over a bridge, and Ben looks at a statue of a soldier as they drive past it. Evie stares up at the castle and the town's old Victorian architecture as the car makes its way along the cobbled streets. Evie consults the map. She looks around. Evie gets out of the car and scuttles into an old-fashioned pawnbroker's shop with three orbs hanging over the door. She reappears a few moments later and gets into the car.
Jewelry on a woman my age is frankly rather vulgar. Buy yourself a clean shirt. You're my assistant now. Come on.
She hands Ben a £50 note. The car plies its way through the city traffic and comes to a halt outside a posh hotel. The doorman sees Evie inside, and Ben takes a tumble as he staggers through the revolving doors behind her with the baggage.
Miss Walton.
I'm she.
Hello, welcome to Edinburgh. I'm Bryony. I'm helping on the literary festival. Did you have a good journey up?
As good as can be expected. Ben, my assistant, drove me.
I'm afraid we hadn't allowed for an assistant.
No, no. I'll take care of that.
Okay, follow me. So if you want to check yourselves in at the desk, they should be able to sort you out with an extra room. Anything else you need, don't hesitate to ask.
Thank you.
Emma, the woman that booked you in, she'll try and pop in and say hello. She's a bit run off her feet at the moment. And we'll have a taxi at 11 o'clock to take you to the venue.
Evie nods.
I've got to tell you, I'm a huge fan of your TV show, The Shipping Magnates.
Yes.
You've seen 80s Night on Sky?
No.
I never miss it. I know all your catchphrases. I'm a woman, Leland, not an oil tanker. You're huge on the gay scene.
Am I?
Sorry. So we'll see you tomorrow at 11, then.
Ben drops the bags down behind them.
Bye for now.
As Bryony goes, she and Ben exchange an awkward look. Ben walks down some stairs in the hotel and knocks on door number 402. A wild-eyed Evie opens up.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, come in.
He steps inside and she shuts the door.
At least about the decency to meet us at the hotel. One doesn't ask much of one's agent.
She paces agitatedly.
I need some water.
Ben goes over to a bedside table and pours her out a glass from a jug, then takes it over to her and hands it to her.
Thank you.
She gulps some down.
Thank you.
She gives him the glass and he puts it back on the bedside table.
When I asked you to come with me to Edinburgh, I may have given the impression that such things were a regular occurrence. The truth is, I haven't given any sort of theatrical performance for many years. I accepted this offer because I was flattered to be asked. It now appears I may have misjudged the reason for my invitation.
What did they ask you to do?
I'm to read from an anthology of love poetry. It's being republished. Part of a week of readings entitled Forgotten Voices.
Sounds very nice.
Evie closes her eyes.
I don't suppose you're familiar with the notion of kitsch. It's rather popular in literary circles. However, what's done is done. We're here now and the show must go on.
I'm sure they'll understand if you didn't want to go on, given how little time you have.
Don't be ridiculous. Of course I'm going on. When a woman says she's not going on, it doesn't mean she's not going on. I want to go on. I'm just nervous. That's all.
She clasps her hands fretfully.
Yes, but...
She looks round at Ben.
As long as you're there, I'll be fine.
Of course I'll be there.
It's silly, I know, but I think if you weren't there with me, I couldn't go on. You're my poet. You understand the power of words.
He smiles.
Tomorrow.
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
Later, Evie sits at the dressing table in her room doing her face. She stares at her reflection in the mirror.
I'm a woman, Leland. Not an oil tanker.
Bryony passes Ben on the stairs in the hotel.
Hello. Nice shirt. Have you stopped sleeping yet? Me too, thank God. I've just shown my last novelist to his room. The bugger actually tried to chat me up. Writers are so fucking vain.
Ben smiles and nods.
You speak, don't you?
He nods. They share an awkward moment.
You fancy a drink?
I should be in bed.
There's a club I sometimes go to. It's just round the corner.
Great.
Great.
Ben is intensely uneasy.
So, shall we go?
Yes.
Hi!
They go into the busy club and Ben is a bit overwhelmed. Bryony takes Ben by the hand and leads him through the heaving club to the bar. Bewildered, Ben looks around at all the people and the live band up on stage. Bryony hands a bottle of beer to Ben. They clink bottles. Ben stares at the band.
What's your old lady so uptight for?
She's nervous about tomorrow.
Why, she's only reading a couple of poems. They probably won't even get to her. Emma's always booking far too many people.
I think Dame Evie wouldn't be very happy if she didn't get the chance to read.
Dame? She's not a dame, is she?
Yes.
Bryony laughs. As the band start a new number, Bryony takes Ben's beer from him and puts it to one side.
Let's dance.
I'm okay.
20-something Bryony leads Ben onto the dance floor where he stands rooted to the spot. Ben moves very slightly. Bryony takes Ben's hand and forces him to dance. Then she shimmies in front of him. Now she takes his hand and spins around, ending up in his arms. Despite himself, Ben grins. Other couples do their thing on the packed dance floor. Bryony puts her arms around Ben's neck as they dance. As Bryony spins herself laughing and giggling into Ben's arms, he begins to thaw out and looks like he might actually be enjoying himself. Later, Bryony takes Ben back to her bedsit.
Can you believe how hairy that guy's back was?
Ben looks around the bedsit.
It's only rented. Anyone who can afford to buy around here definitely doesn't work in publishing.
He takes in his surroundings, looking a bit unnerved. She hands him a drink.
How old are you?
I'm 18 and a half.
She smiles.
Don't mind me asking, but why are you working for an old lady? Are there no other jobs?
She's my grandmother.
cool. Sorry, I didn't mean to be rude about it.
It's okay.
Is this your first time?
No.
They both sip their drinks. Now looking ultra awkward, Ben turns to Bryony to make his move, but just manages to bump into her.
Sorry.
She takes his glass from him and puts it down.
Come here, you twit.
They share a lingering kiss while walking around in a circle. Smiling, Bryony takes Ben by the hand and leads him over to the bed. They sit down on it and kiss again. The next morning, an irate Evie slams her key down on the reception desk and harangues the desk clerk.
Explain, please, the meaning of... He is not in his room.
Well, his key's at reception and he's not answering his phone.
Then kindly unlock the door.
Sorry, I'm afraid I can't do that. We're not at liberty to unlock a client's door unless there's an emergency.
And you don't call this an emergency?
With the greatest of respect, madam, no.
She snatches up her key and uses it to smash the glass on the fire alarm.
What's happening?
My assistant is missing in action. When you find him, I'll be downstairs at La Brasserie Ecosse. Thank you.
She marches off, leaving the clerk and the manager open-mouthed. Evie sits alone at a table in the brasserie. A waiter spots her and comes over.
Get you anything else?
Another.
He takes her wine glass. Bryony brings Ben tea in bed.
I made you some tea. Take sugar.
I'm not.
It's okay, I'm not going to eat you. I don't have to be anywhere till after lunch. How about you? Do you fancy staying in for a bit?
He puts his tea down and, seeing the time, gets up.
Take it, that's a no, then.
It's 11:30.
So?
I promised Evie I'd be there by 11.
She can go on her own, can't she?
She won't go on without me.
You're kidding, right?
She means that I have to be there before she goes on or she can't remember her lines.
Ben, she's reading from a book.
Makes a difference. She's completely hopeless unless I'm in the same room.
Isn't that a bit weird?
She's not weird. She's just... nervous.
Relax, she's having you on.
No, she isn't. I promised her I'd be there. Once you've made a promise, you should keep it.
Bryony looks a bit crestfallen.
Ben.
Yes?
You're a lovely guy.
Thank you. And thank you for having me.
He goes. Good-natured crowds throng the streets of Edinburgh for the Fringe. Evie's in a taxi.
Stop at an office. I need a drink.
She nervously eyes the crowds thronging the streets. Ben hurries out of Bryony's bedsit and runs off down the street. The taxi drops Evie off at the venue and she totters up the steps, taking a slug from a bottle of grog as she does so. As she walks into the venue looking lost, a red-headed woman spots her and comes up to her.
Miss Walton, Emma Pageant Vintage Press. For a moment there, I thought we lost you to the Scots.
Ben sprints past a marching band and hurries on down a quieter street. At the venue, Emma escorts Evie up to a lectern on a raised podium at the end of the room. Evie steps up and stands by as Emma does her introduction to the rather gay-looking audience.
Ladies and gentlemen, Vintage Press, in conjunction with Eternal Spring, the exfoliating cream that gently peels away the years, are delighted to welcome Miss Eve Walton.
Ben runs up a flight of steps.
I thought I'd begin today's recital by reading William Shakespeare's sonnet number 29, When in Disgrace with Fortune.
She fumbles a book.
Excuse me.
She drops it. Ben runs out of a passageway. He runs on but stops when he sees a policeman.
Presbyterian Hall off Market Street.
Straight on, second in the right.
Evie.
Sorry, I seem to...
The audience aren't impressed.
Right, I know it off by heart. When in disgrace with fortune and men's eyes, I all alone beweep my outcast state, and trouble deaf heaven with my bootless cries, and look upon myself.
The words desert her. Evie bows her head as she struggles to remember.
I'm sorry, very sorry. I know nothing.
Ben runs up the front steps of the venue.
Flo. I love you so. I love you in your nightie. When the moonlight flits across your tits. Oh, Jesus Christ, what?
Ben runs into the venue.
Sorry, I didn't know what to do.
Ben runs up the stairs.
Ben, are you a bit?
He runs into the lecture hall and goes up to the podium.
You promised me.
I'm sorry.
Get me out of here.
Ben drives through a light rain in the Citroën. Evie is sleeping on his shoulder. She wakes up and looks around.
Where are we?
On the way to Cheltenham.
Cheltenham?
There's another festival there.
I don't want to go to another festival.
It's all sorted. I spoke to the Lady Emma Watson. I explained to her you only had a week to live. She was really nice about it. She booked you a slot at the Cheltenham Literary Festival with Martin Amis.
What are you talking about?
I told her. You're not just some cheap soap star from the 80s. You deserve a better end.
The Cheltenham Literary Festival with Martin Amis? Jesus Christ, turn the car around at once and take me home.
No.
What did you say?
When a woman says she doesn't want to go on, that doesn't mean she doesn't want to go on.
Young man, let me make myself quite clear. Under no circumstances am I giving another recital. I have humiliated myself quite enough already. Now all I want to do is go home and shut the door.
You have to climb back on the horse.
What? Climb back on the what?
God wants you to do one more performance before you die.
Stop the car.
You're upset. You lost your nerve. Next time, I'll go through the pieces with you.
Stop the fucking car!
It stops at a passing place and Evie hops out of it.
I will not be bullied! Even by an emotional cripple.
I'm not going back.
Then I'll walk.
You can't. You're dying.
I am not dying.
You mustn't be afraid of death.
I am not dying.
God embraces all who believe in him, for they shall have everlasting life.
I am not dying. I made it up.
Ben looks shocked, then gets out of the car as she walks off.
You.
Oh, don't be so fucking pompous. I made it to myself. I'm going home. End of story.
Evie.
He runs after her as she runs up a grassy bank at the roadside.
Evie, where do you think you're going? Evie, stop. You're in the middle of nowhere.
Then I will cling to the edge of somewhere.
Evie, please. You're worth too much to let yourself go.
Bugger off.
You know I'm right. You can't deny it. God gave you your talent for a reason.
There is no God, you hopeless little cretin.
God gives you for that too.
Let's get one thing clear, sonny boy. I do the forgiving, not God.
That's a terrible thing to say.
Oh, don't get biblical on me, you pompous fucker. You never read the bloody thing anyway.
I read my Bible every night.
Liar!
Liar? You're telling me I'm a liar? I've never met anyone who lied so much in all my life. You make up old people out of thin air.
You said you'd be there at 11 and you weren't.
You make up money.
The one time I really needed you and you let me down. The one time. Who were you with that was so bloody important you couldn't even be bothered to show up? Who was it?
He looks down guiltily.
Ryan.
Looking crushed, Evie turns away from him and walks away up the road. Ben sadly watches her go. Now back in the car, Ben drives up the road and catches up with Evie. He stops alongside her and she gets in.
Take me home.
We can look for a campsite on the way. I'm sorry.
They drive on. That night they've made camp somewhere and Evie serves up some food as Ben sorts out their bedding. He comes over and joins her at the table. She pushes him a plate of food and he pours out a glass of wine for her and then one for himself. She takes a sip and he follows suit. They tuck into their meal. The morning light reveals their campsite is beside a lake. Ben sits in the mouth of the tent doing up his laces when a much brighter Evie appears beside him.
Come and look.
She puts a mug of tea down on the camp table and leads him out to the gravel beach of the lake. They admire the truly spectacular view. Green, steep-sided hills sweep down to the slate-blue waters of the lake under a cloudy sky.
Evie?
Mm?
Do you know that picture I found on your desk? Is that your baby?
She remains motionless, staring at the view, then nods.
What happened?
He died of meningitis when he was 2.
What's his name?
Thomas Oliver Walton. Tom. He had a particular way of speaking. When he was proud of something, he used to miss words out. Like once when we were trying to catch a bus. He was holding my hand, shouting, "Are you running?"
She keeps staring out at the serene view as if looking for an answer to something.
Life is confusing. Just when we think it's all over, it throws a view like this at us. And we don't know where we are.
A trout rises, causing a small ripple out on the calm water, and Evie takes Ben's hand. They look up and see a skylark climbing slowly into the sky. Standing on the shingle beach, Ben and Evie are two tiny figures dwarfed by the massive grandeur of the Highland scenery. Later, the Citroen is back on the road, making its way past pylons that stride across the countryside. The car drives on down a rural road, then across a raised stretch of motorway. Finally, the Citroen arrives back at Evie's house. Ben parks up and gets out. He walks around the car and opens the passenger door to let Evie out.
Bring in the things.
Tomorrow, I'm going to rest.
They walk back around the car. Evie stops and looks at it, then turns back to Ben.
I tricked you into going all that way, and you didn't want to go. I'm sorry.
I had a brilliant time, really.
She smiles. Beaming happily, she unlocks her front gate and goes inside. Ben heads off home. He walks down his street and is greeted by the sight of his mother and Mr. Fincham, both standing outside the house and both wearing floral pink skirts and pink tops. They give him "we're very disappointed in you" looks as he walks up the drive towards them. Later, Ben is in his room with Laura.
You don't have to tell me what happened. I know already. Some people are wicked. But that's all there is to it.
She isn't wicked.
She's an actress!
Laura glares fiercely at Ben.
I think that says enough. Of course I blame myself for suggesting we try and do something kind for Mr. Fincham. This is the thanks I get. My child on drugs. Probably abused.
I wasn't abused. I had a really good time.
When you went with that actress, you left God's house. While there is breath in my body, you will not leave it again. Look at me when I'm talking to you.
Very reluctantly, Ben does so.
She needs me. She's my friend.
Laura comes over all weepy.
I could never betray you, Ben. Don't betray me. Don't be a betrayer.
Ben glares sullenly at her, then looks away. After a moment, he looks back at her and she drops her gaze, looking all hurt. She wipes her eyes and gets to her feet. She makes to go, then stops.
You may have noticed that Mr. Fincham has started dressing in my clothes. You must assume that this is part of his recovery.
The next day, Ben waits glumly in the car outside Padre Pete's house. Robert sits hunched over his desk in the study. Mr. Fincham mows the lawn wearing Laura's clothes. Ben makes a phone call.
It's me, Ben. I can't make it today. My mum. Anyway, I'll try and get there tomorrow. I have to go now.
Ben stands in between Laura and Mr. Fincham as they rehearse the show where Ben plays a eucalyptus tree. Now Ben and Laura attend one of Pete's prayer meetings. Sarah walks away from Ben as he sits by a roadside. Evie watches TV and eats a takeaway. Robert looks through one of his bird books. Ben stands in the doorway of Robert's study in his pajamas holding a glass of milk. Laura watches him and Ben turns away. The cast of Brownies practice their curtain call. Ben stands glumly in his bedroom. Evie knocks at Ben's front door. Laura looks out and sees what she thinks is another needy oldie.
Hello. May I help you?
How do you do? I'm Dame Eve Walton. I was wondering if Ben was in, by any chance.
I'm afraid he's out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Would you mind telling him I called? Only he left a message, but I haven't heard from him.
I'm so sorry. He's no wish to work for you anymore.
Evie looks unpleasantly surprised.
Did he say why?
He's found something more appropriate.
More appropriate?
Laura smiles.
Is that all?
Yes. I'm sorry. Yes. Please give him my very best wishes.
Laura smiles again.
Thank you for calling.
Goodbye.
Laura disappears back inside. Evie plods dispiritedly back across a T-junction. She just misses Ben as he walks down the intersecting road, which a sign identifies as Coolhurst Road. As he arrives back at the house, Laura opens the door to him.
Ben, what would I do without you?
She ushers him into the house and shuts the door behind them. In the church hall, the audience is filing in for the Brownies play. Robert is amongst them and takes his seat. Backstage, Ben and the other kids are in their costumes. Bursting with pride, Laura surveys her young cast.
Look at them. I'd like to see Dame Evie do better. The way she looks, I'd say she was lucky to get a soap opera.
What do you mean? You've never met her.
The penny drops.
Mum, did Did she come looking for me?
The curtain rises to reveal Ben centre stage in his tree outfit. Laura stands at a lectern, stage right.
On a hot afternoon, in the hills of Galilee, a hungry crowd is gathering in the shade of a eucalyptus tree. When, all of a sudden, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, comes strolling towards them.
We're hungry.
They cry.
Where can we get food?
Showing them his loaves and fishes, Jesus smiles and says,
Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will refresh you.
The pissed-off-looking tree takes this as its cue to uproot itself and leave the stage. Laura looks over at Pete, who's playing Jesus. He holds his fish and his loaf up a bit. Ben hurries out of the hall and quickly divests himself of his costumes, branches and hat. He gets on a bicycle and pedals off at a good lick. He cycles past a cemetery, then along residential streets. He cycles up a steep hill and down the narrow lane to Evie's house. He drops the bike and rushes in through the front gate, runs up to the front door and knocks. Getting no reply, he calls through the letterbox.
Evie, it's me, Ben. I've only got a few minutes. I'm in that play at the church hall. I just want you to know, Mum never told me you called. Evie... I know you're in there. Please, answer the door.
She's out, dead drunk.
Evie, I need to talk to you. I only stayed away because I was scared what my mum would do.
Evie comes too.
I need you. You're my best friend. Don't make me go back there. Not like this.
Evie sits up.
Evie?
Ben stares up at the house. Getting no reply, he looks down morosely. Inside, Evie looks drunkenly about her.
Sick cow. Hold on, dear.
She staggers as she gets up. Ben starts to cycle away.
I'm coming!
The final chapter of our story unfolds. We watch God's angels surrounding the stone that lies across the mouth of the cave in preparation for the greatest miracle of all.
The tree wanders back onto the stage and Laura beams at the audience.
Christ's resurrection.
Back at the house, Mr. Fincham comes out of his room in a white skirt and floral blouse. He kneels and checks his appearance in a mirror. He's wearing makeup, earrings and a pearl necklace. He picks up a hairband, then helps himself to the car keys, gets in Laura's Nissan and starts the engine up. He puts the hairband on and drives off. Evie arrives outside the church hall in the taxi.
How much is that, dear?
Rolling, rolling, rolling.
Evie pays the cabbie, adjusts her coat and walks towards the church hall.
Christ steps into the light and God the Father cries,
I've come for my boy!
God is a woman. That's so beautiful.
Evie marches up the aisle. She beams at her appreciative audience. Laura looks daggers at her.
Start the finale. The finale. Go.
Evie steps up to the stage.
My friends, the time has come for God's Son to say farewell. Summer's lease has all too short a date, and the leaves on the trees, they are a-stirring.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Well, in this
face with fortune and men's eyes. Lift yourself up and shout to the skies. No, no, I don't want to be a tree no more. No,
no. I'm gonna be a man.
Good news, Lord.
Yes, sister, ain't it good news? Oh, Lord, good news. Yes, yes. Yes. No roots to dig me in the ground. No branches to catch my crown. I am the Son of Man. Ain't nobody holding me down.
She leads Ben off the stage.
You stuck by me, I'll stick by you.
Thank you,
thank you, hallelujah. Don't touch my clothes.
Stop her. What do you want me to do?
Yes. Thank you. No
Laura cuts through the frantically worshipping audience after Evie and Ben as they make their way outside. She calls after them.
Ben Marshall, come back here at once!
Ben freezes. Then he and Evie look back at Laura, who extends her hand towards Ben.
Time to go home.
Ben doesn't move.
Ben.
I'm not your Ben.
Don't be silly, my love.
I'm not your love.
Ben, stop now, please.
No, I won't stop. I'm going to go on and on until everybody knows just what it's like to live in your life.
Ben.
Be good, be nice. And all the bloody time, you're driving around in Dad's car having sex.
Ben!
Robert listens as Mr. Fincham drives up in the Nissan. He drives at her. Ben watches horrified. Ben opens a letter.
Dear Ben, I do hope when you read this letter your mother finds herself on the road to recovery. In the circumstances, I quite understand that you will feel it inappropriate to work for me anymore. Besides, you are your own man now. Do remember, however odd it all gets, this is only the denouement. The end is up to you. To wit, I leave you with this quote, penned by my dear friend, William Shakespeare. When the shit hits the fan, get a tent.
Ben, come talk to me.
He's visiting Laura in hospital.
Boy.
The doctor said the only reason I survived is because I drive an economy car. God truly is a friend to the thrifty.
Mom, please.
There's something else I need to tell you.
She gestures for him to take her hand, and he does so.
Your father and I have been talking.
He looks down.
I've prayed to God, and I hear him. He's telling me to get a divorce.
As Ben leaves, he passes Sarah.
Ben?
He stops and looks back at her.
Yeah. Hi.
I'm next in the prayer chain.
He looks unimpressed.
Are you all right, Ben?
Fine.
We all know about your mum and Peter. If it's God's will.
Ben seethes quietly.
You're very angry, aren't you? Don't be. You're still God's gift. Every day God gives us is a gift. That's why we call it the present.
Fuck off, Sarah.
What did you say?
I said, fuck off.
He marches off, leaving her looking like he just hit her with a wet fish. Back at home, Ben roots around in the garden shed until he finds a bag. Robert watches from the house as Ben tips out the contents of the bag, a tent, onto the back lawn.
Ben?
He looks up.
What are you doing? You saw your mother? Peter's taking her to Cornwall. To convalesce. She said I should visit them sometime.
Robert puts his hands in his pockets and walks over to Ben.
I think it's better this way.
How can you say that? After all the shit she put you through, how can you say that to me? You're my dad. You meant to stand up for yourself. You should have divorced her. You should have told her to bloody well fuck off.
I did. It was me who asked for the divorce. Ben, I know this is hard for you to understand, but when I made my vows to your mother, I meant what I said. And though it may seem like very little, I have tried to be true to my word.
You should have talked to me. I'd have understood. I'm a poet. I understand the power of words.
Yes.
Ben stands looking thoughtful for a moment, then picks up a bag of tent pegs and sits down with it. He sets about knocking one of the pegs into the ground with a mallet. Robert hesitates for a moment, then crouches down, picks up a tent peg, and makes to knock it in. Ben looks up thoughtfully.
I may move out here for a while.
Good idea. Get a bit of space.
Robert hammers the peg in with the stone.
Well, since I've been camping. Dad.
Hmm?
Saw a skylark in Scotland.
Really? Do you know, I've never seen one. Did it sing?
Just like you said.
Wonderful.
It was.
They stop hammering, an awkwardness between them.
I do love you, Ben. Very much.
I love you too, Dad.
Yes. Good. Yeah, that's good.
He dusts off the tent and straightens up its material. Ben is at Evie's front gate.
Come on! You blunt little bastards, cut!
She sees Ben.
Ben! I wasn't sure I was going to see you again.
I've been a bit busy.
Good.
I can't say. I'm on my lunch break. I've got a job in a bookshop.
Books? Very apropos.
I'm living on my own now. In the garden.
Excellent. And your parents?
They're my parents.
Yes. So, any plans?
I'm thinking of going to college.
Where?
Edinburgh.
To study?
English.
English? Good choice.
I wrote you something. I'm still experimenting with free verse.
Free verse? Ah.
Some mysteries I will never understand. The way the earth rotates around the sun, 3 minutes short of every day. Or the way the dead are gone. Like putting down the phone or turning a corner. The future. That's another whopper. We can never know what we can never know. Except that whoever you are, and whoever I am, you made it all right to be me. It's not Shakespeare.
Oh dear. But it's lovely. And it's you.
She takes the note and Ben looks a little sheepish.
Bye then.
He turns stiffly and heads off.
Goodbye, Ben.
He turns and waves, then carries on and disappears through the front gate. Evie heads back into her house looking at the poem Ben gave her. A line of buskers are playing outside Hampstead Tube Station as Ben walks past it. He throws some change into one of the buskers' hats. Now Ben walks over the top of Hampstead Heath towards the city stretching out into the distance before him. The telecoms tower and the NatWest tower loom large on the horizon. As Ben walks away down the hill, a caption appears. For Rod Hall, 1951 to 2004. ITFC audio description by John Walton.